You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Have you ever had to go to a birthday party that you really didn't want to go to, right? Like we all have, or a friend or two who celebrate their birthdays just a little too much, like birth week, like it's the most important thing of the year, despite literally thousands of people sharing that day. And the whole world has to revolve around that one person's day. And you're all ready to just go out and say, hey, happy birthday, and leave it at that. This is, you know, it doesn't have to make a whole night of this, right? And I've had some bad birthday nights. They can't all be winners, but I haven't had a birthday with the New York mob. That, as I now know, is not fun and about as bad as those people who celebrate birthday week, thanks to the birthday cake. The 10th anniversary of his father's mysterious death, Gio, played by Shiloh Fernandez, a quiet young guy, reluctantly embroiled in the modern New York mob life, makes his way across Brooklyn to bring a birthday cake prepared by his mother to a memorial celebration hosted by his Uncle Angelo, a mafia crime boss, played by Val Kilmer, currently with a tracheotomy box. Along his way, Gio crosses paths with one person after another who is equally connected to his very vicious and dangerous life. He soon begins to piece together what really happened to his dad all those years ago, coming face to face with the kind of violence he's been trying to avoid his whole life. The Birthday Cake is the feature directorial debut for Jimmy Giannopoulos, starring Ewan McGregor, Shiloh Fernandez, Val Kilmer, and Lorraine Bracco, as well as several other recognizable faces of the mob genre. I am TC DeWitt of the Screener Squad, and joining me as we venture through Brooklyn together is Adrian.
Hello, hello.
And Chad.
Hey, Adrian, what's happening? All right, I'm done.
Hey.
I'm already done.
You see this fucking movie?
You see this fucking mook?
The Birthday Cake. Is Jimmy Giannopoulos a made man, or are we going to forget about it?
There's half of me that's like, this movie is kind of silly. And then there's half of me that's like, oh, this fucking movie is kind of badass. This was so fun, I think is what it was kind of comes down
to. Yeah, there's an interesting thing happening with mob movies now. The Scorsese's mob is gone. We don't get those anymore. That romanticized version of gangster life, we don't get that anymore. Rarely do we get
it. And when you try to do that, it's like, why not go to Scorsese or why not go to The Godfather? Like, there's no point.
Right. The modern look at this sort of lifestyle is what we're getting in movies like this or Uncut Gems. Adrian, I know you compared this to the Safdie brothers.
Yeah, I brought up in the chat that this is riding the wave that I've been seeing. The only other movie that comes to mind right now was called Flinch, that also came out like earlier this year. Mm-hmm. But it's this new wave of like Safdie exploitation. Where it's like, it's not quite a Safdie brothers film. Mm-hmm. But if you were to ask this director, what's your favorite movie? And he said Uncut Gems, A Good Time. I would not be very surprised.
Well, I will put a punctuation mark on that because this is the DP from the Safdie brothers Good Time.
Hmm. There it is.
There we fucking go. That Swish. Makes so much sense.
Yeah, the energy of this is definitely in the vein of Uncut Gems and Good Time, where it's this kinetic, uncomfortable, a little too real, anxiety-inducing type of filmmaking.
You know, maybe Martin Scorsese's style of gangster flick is gone, but his soundtrack is definitely still fucking here.
Oh yeah.
And I mean that as a compliment. This is very much, I don't think you can watch a mobster movie that has like oldie hit after oldie hit without thinking of Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. And yet here it also didn't feel inappropriate. Like, all these songs are really good and they fit well within the scenes. And it's punctuated with, like, the actual score itself, which is, like, I don't know, some kind of anxiety nightmare.
Yes.
My anxiety was during all of COVID. That's what my life sounded like all the time.
The score sounds like a sci-fi horror movie. It's this weird synthesized sound. It doesn't feel like a gangster movie based solely on the score, but intersplicing that with the Italian pop hits that are so familiar to this genre, it's a weird mesh of things happening right there.
But it's a weird mesh of things that I feel really does ultimately work. I think the only kind of amateurish thing about this is, even though it has that same DP as Good Time, there are points where I don't think the camera work is as good as something like Good Time, including with, like, there's just a little bit of action in here. Mm-hmm. But they do this thing with action that I hate where they'll, like, kind of rush the camera into whatever just got hit. And it kind of looks just, I don't know. I'm not sure if this was done in post. I don't know if it was actually done with the camera, but it looks a little silly. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, I think all the performances are good. The main dude, Shiloh Fernandez, he somehow manages to look younger here than he did in Evil Dead, which came out like almost 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago, actually.
Yeah, he holds his own nicely. Yeah, I was a little worried at first because the movie starts out 10 years ago. And we get David Mazouz, I don't know how to say his last name, but it's Bruce from Gotham, who's a perfectly fine actor, but he's acting like he has a very actory performance about him. And I thought, oh boy, if he's going to be our main character through this whole movie, this is probably going to be a tough watch. But as soon as the title hits, we jump ahead 10 years and Shiloh Fernandez takes over and holds his own in this movie. There's nary a moment in this movie that he is not on frame. And it's impressive to see him going toe-to-toe with Val Kilmer and some other recognizable faces, and he's hanging. And I think that's a credit to him as an actor.
Going back to Scorsese and all that stuff, so we haven't talked about Mafia alums in this movie, like Lorraine Bracco. Obviously, she was in Goodfellas, and she was in Sopranos. Paul Sorvino was in...
also from Goodfellas.
From Goodfellas. Mm-hmm. Vincent Pastore.
Big pussy bumping Sierra.
Yes!
He will just always be him.
It will always be big pussy.
I guess it's just how Vincent Pastore is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Adrian, where you were talking about the camera work not quite working, it's lucky for this director as a first-time director to get such a capable DP, where I think the problematic nature of a young director comes in is the blocking, right? The camera can only do so much. It's going to come down to how are the pieces moved across the board? How are these actors blocked through a scene? And that's on the director, right? And he favored always showing Shiloh Fernandez, our main character, which is good because narratively he's our POV character. We need to see him a lot. But it's a lot of in your face, in your comfortable bubble that the Safdie brothers are really good at that I don't think quite worked here, to speak to your commentary on that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So on a technical level, I think there's a learning curve happening here. But this is an impressive first outing for a director.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I don't want to spoil anything in this movie, but
yeah,
the movie throws some twists. I feel like I kind of saw them coming. Mm-hmm. That being said, when they did happen, I liked it. Like, I'm glad that, oh, good, we did end up going this way, because this kind of makes for a really, maybe not exciting, but like just kind of a fun time. It's a wild ride. It mm-hmm. really is. I think like that's the best way to describe it.
Interesting way to shift dynamic of a power struggle that you didn't know existed until the very end.
Yeah, the only criticism I had right out of the gate that sort of withstood the whole thing was the unnecessary use of narration from Ewan McGregor. It felt like a post-production decision. It didn't feel natural to the screenplay.
It definitely did.
He's good. Ewan McGregor is playing a priest. He has a wonderful presence. I think Ewan McGregor is a very underrated actor, and he works well in this, but this additional narration felt weird. Every time it popped up, I was like, ah.
And I feel like it didn't happen consistently enough for it to work. It really was only used sparingly, which normally is a good thing, but it definitely did feel like it was a post thing, which I don't think it was needed at all, personally.
Yeah, because the energy of this, the journey through the night that Gio goes on, Adrian, you're right. This is an exciting evening for this character. And even though it might seem like, I know what's going to happen, it's satisfying when it happens. It doesn't feel cliche. It feels familiar. And sometimes familiar is good.
Yeah, it feels like the way that, like, if this was an art house kind of mafia film, it would have been all about symbolism and stuff like that. But because this is, like, this director's first film, he's making some kind of amateurish decisions and mistakes. Mm-hmm. And yet, I feel like it almost elevates the movie because it just doesn't care. It doesn't give a shit, which makes it more fun. I mean, I was like, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about this. I saw half of the trailer and thought, there's something about this that's like really luring me in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really even know why, but that's why I signed up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start the movie, it says from the chicken soup for the soul.
Yes. The first thing that comes up. And I thought, oh shit, is this going to be a Jesus movie?
Yeah, exactly. And you think that, but then it opens up with like a hate crime. It's like, what the fuck is this movie going to be?
Yeah, Michael Fichtner, a great character actor, Michael Fichtner, is dropping F-bombs and just beats the crap out of someone for being who they are. And I'm like, oh, chicken soup has come a long way from when I read it in high school.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then I looked them up, and it turns out maybe not the only, but one of the other movies that they put out was that Nicolas Cage versus Chuck E. Cheese movie that came out this year.
What?
So I'm not sure what the title of this production company has to do with any of the movies that they're putting out. I'm kind of glad that they're going against what they're known for.
Yeah, because I had the same reaction when that popped up. I thought, uh-oh, what did I sign up for? As a young director just starting out, the writer-director aspect of it, weirdly, to me, this felt like early Richard Linklater. If you think of how his early films have a lot of naturalistic dialogue, a lot of character exploration through the dialogue and going from place to place with maybe one or two characters. And I don't think Richard Linklater's ever done a mafia movie, but I feel like this was strangely in a similar vein as a Linklater independent style film. I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that, but it was just something that struck me.
I feel like I haven't seen enough of his movies to really comment. I mean, like, this reminded me nothing of School of Rock. I know that movie.
No. I'm thinking more like Dazed and Confused, just Linklater's ability to have natural-sounding dialogue.
Yeah.
Linklater movies, and much like this movie here, feels like watching reality as opposed to watching a film. This certainly has its filmic quality to it because it's a mob movie, and it has this adventure that this character goes on. But like the diner scene when he goes to visit his friend,
yeah,
and the girls show up and they just are chit-chatting, it feels very real. It feels almost unscripted.
And because this is kind of a mobster movie, it sometimes does kind of dip its toe too deep into the whole side that's like, hey, pass the gabagool, you know?
Yeah. It does get hey, the women aren't here. Points. You think we can't cook? What's the matter with you?
But then at other points, I mean, like there's a scene where he's talking to someone in a liquor store that just got kind of roughed up. And that kid drops a joke about kombucha that like made me laugh so hard. And it's because it just seemed like this actor decided to say that. Like it really did feel natural throughout.
That's that naturalistic dialogue. To speak to a different point here, seeing Val Kilmer in this is both commendable and also sad.
It is.
To see him in this state. So those who don't know, Val Kilmer had throat cancer and now he has a voice box and they had to subtitle his dialogue. At one point I tried to not look at the dialogue and determine if I could understand what he was saying. And I couldn't. I love Val Kilmer. I love him as this, you know, badass from all these movies in his career. It's sad to see him in this state, but at the same time, he brings it. He is acting his ass off. There's not a moment where I felt like he was phoning it in.
No, I actually kind of had to stop watching when he came up to do research because I remember hearing that he was sick from, I believe it was throat cancer. I wasn't sure what kind of procedure he got done. I wasn't sure if the voice box, the voice modulator, was the movie's decision or if that's something that he uses. And even how he speaks throughout the film, I mean, I haven't seen any kind of interviews or anything like that with him. So for all we know, he could be kind of exaggerating it.
Maybe.
But yet they make his ailment, his condition, they make it work within the plot. At first, it was kind of jarring because, I mean, it's Val Kilmer. I love Val Kilmer. I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It's hard to see him like this in the same way it would be hard to see a family member after going through something like this. But then to see him act and to see his character arc, it totally worked. It worked way better than it did in, like, the fucking Snowman where he was dubbed, where it's like they could have just gotten any kind of actor for this. No, he is acting his ass off in this, and he's doing an actually a good job.
Snowman with Michael Fassbender, and I think that was the first time he had acted since he had cancer in his tongue. Terrible That's movie, but yeah, it's cool to see Val Kilmer actually just like trying to make cinema more open and inclusive, available to everybody. Which I think it's totally cool that he's willing to put himself out there like that.
Yeah, the legend of Angelo, the character he's playing, that he got shot in the throat and survived, and he's this mob boss. Because there's that scene where Gio goes to the bar and he's talking to his buddy there. Like, have you seen Leo? Have you seen my cousin Leo? This is the spot right here. This is the spot where Angelo was shot right in the throat. That legend dropped there to be paid off, like, oh, this is Val Kilmer playing this part and explaining why his throat's the way it is. It was cool. It was, like you said, Adrian, jarring, but commendable as hell. I thought Val Kilmer did a really cool performance here. I loved it.
I mean, I could talk forever about this movie, but I think
Luis Guzman.
I don't know how much. Oh yeah,
let's talk Luis Guzman. Yeah,
dude, just a random Luis Guzman sighting in the wild, and of course, it pays off.
Yeah, it has one of the funnier moments.
Luis Guzman has two of the great moments: the argument between the couple, where he tries to give them the advice, and then the payoff of the cake moment with him. I thought was great. So, Adrian, I think you were about to say it. I don't want to say much more about this movie because I do think this is worth a watch. So why don't we roll that into some final thoughts, Adrian?
I went into this mostly blind. Like I said, I don't know what it was about the trailer. I just had a feeling that this is either going to be something kind of special or it's going to be one of those movies that's so bad it's good. And for me, honestly, this ended up being something kind of special. It ended up being one of those movies where I'm very much looking forward to what this director does next. Because this is his introduction. Now all he can do is learn and grow from here and make something truly, truly incredible. This was a lot of fun. This was hilarious. Maybe in some ways where it wasn't trying to be, but then also in ways where it definitely was. And this also has some pretty great character moments that I really wasn't expecting from something so kind of low budget. Like we said, this cast is stacked and everyone does a pretty good job. Lorraine Bracco, it's great to see her also doing a really good job in this. I was thoroughly surprised. I enjoyed both the soundtrack and the original score of the film. Both of them are somehow work well together. And it also looks pretty when it's not being too silly and shaky and the blocking's off, like TC mentioned. It does look very pretty. I think y'all should check this out. I'm not sure if this is going to be in theaters, but rent it when it comes out to VOD. I'm going to give this 3.5 slices of gabagool out of 5.
All right. Chad, what are your feelings about this movie? I'd like you to share them with me. Go ahead.
I mean, I feel like they were just said, so maybe I should pick on it a little bit. I agree. It's like a little something special. It's not a bad movie at all. I didn't like the fact that there were no character payoffs. Like, I feel like it set up a lot of little side stories that I never got resolution to. I don't know if it's one of those things like, well, we'll see it in the sequel, but I hope not. Either way, thoroughly enjoyed it. It's good to see a mafia movie have its roots, but also do something different. A little bit predictable, but hey, if you watch enough movies in your life, you figure out the plots to stuff real quick. So as far as the score goes, I'm going to give this, you said 3.5. I'm going to give it 3.7 Obi-Wan Kenobis out of 5.
Interesting.
I didn't know we could do that. I
didn't know we could do that either.
I always thought it was whole number or whole number and half or just half number.
Listen, this is my second podcast.
You're changing the game.
Chris, I'm sorry.
No, you're doing a good job.
All right, this film is part of a modern genre of gangster movie that Sopranos pretty much pushed us into. This is not the romanticized Scorsese mob. This is not Goodfellas or Casino, and it's a long way from Godfather. The modern mob is gross and sad, and no one watching this is going to think, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. It's pathetic, I think is the word I want to use, in a way to see the mob this way, but movies like Uncut Gems and Good Time and Killing Them Softly and The Town, these movies are showing us what the mob probably always was. Like Uncut Gems, this movie is unsettling and it has a kinetic energy about it. And a big tip of my hat to Jimmy Price Williams, the DP, for the energy that he brings in his cinematography. He's got a great style. And if him and Jimmy Giannopoulos here want to stay teaming up, they've got some fun to be had in the future. The camera always bobbing around in people's faces and in personal spaces, the overlapping dialogue, and it left me trying to catch my breath with Gio. And to have such a strong POV for the audience executed this well, it's cool. It's uncomfortable, but it's cool. And it's really well done in that regard. But it's not doing anything new. The cliches of the New York mob might amuse you if you're not engaged in this style of film. But if this does appeal to you, this modern crime genre, you're going to dig this. It's a brisk watch. Shiloh Fernandez manages to hold his own really well against some gangster movie actor staples. The twists and turns aren't complex, but they wind around well enough. And I'm impressed that this is a debut feature that Jimmy Giannopoulos has given us here. It's hard not to say his name that way. But if he decides to stay in this genre, I think he's going to excel. So sitting here now, breaking bread with my friends and my brothers here, I'm going to give the birthday cake a right down the middle, admirable 6 gobble ghouls out of 10. Say out of your mother for me.
I think it's safe to say that that's exactly how Jimmy would like his last name to be said.
I think.
Also, I really do want to mention, for anybody listening to this review, if you do want to have like a double feature that's kind of just like, this fucking movie. check out Flinch, and then immediately after, watch this one. They go so well together. And if you guys haven't heard of it, look it up. It's pretty cool.